Hey there, welcome back to the Work Your Wealth podcast, the show where money meets real life. I'm your host, Mary Beth Storjahan, certified financial planner and founder of Allura Wealth. Welcome back, friends. Today, I want to talk about something that has come up quite frequently for me lately as I'm chatting with clients and as I have been bringing on new ones. And looking at the financial foundation that folks have laid for themselves over time. So what we're talking about today are the three buckets that you need in order to build a retirement paycheck. So when I'm meeting with folks as they're coming in, they have typically been saving for a long time. We're doing everything right. You're maxing out your 401ks, you're watching the balances climb, and then suddenly, somewhere in, you know, your 40s or 50s, you're starting to think, do I have enough? And more importantly, do I actually know how this is going to turn out? How do I turn this into something that can sustain me or support my lifestyle? And so it's not typically the number in the account that keeps people up at night. It's a lack of clarity of not knowing what it translates into, right? Having a balance in your account is great. We all love knowing what our net worth is, but the balance is not the paycheck. And if you are in your 40s or older, it is an important distinction to make when you start to think about how will I draw on this balance at a future point in time. So if you are a high earning W-2 employee, if you have equity compensation, if you are a business owner, typically, you know, you're a diligent saver. There's never really a gap in terms of the effort. The gap is typically kind of in the architecture. And so what I'm talking about is that most people have been putting everything into one bucket when that retirement paycheck actually requires three. And when I say requires, this is for your best financial benefit, typically. When I say it requires, it's not mandatory, but what you want to set yourself up for a strong financial foundation is that you want to have that money that you are allocating diversified across these buckets, not just all in the one bucket. So why do buckets matter? When you're retiring, you are not just drawing from a pile of money. You are creating a retirement paycheck by drawing from accounts that have different tax treatments. And there are different rules for accessing those accounts, and there's different implications for what you would owe to the IRS each year in terms of taxes. And those sequence of withdrawals matters enormously. So if you pull from the wrong account in the wrong year, depending on what your foundation looks like, it can push you either into a higher tax bracket, which costs you more money. It can trigger Medicare surcharges, which can cost you more money, or it can make your Social Security income taxable when it didn't need to be, which will cost you more money. So the way that you build now will determine how much flexibility you have in the later years. Now, when we think about the three buckets, there are different types. So bucket one is going to be tax deferred. This is the bucket that most folks tend to fill first, especially high earners. They fill it most aggressively, and it's for a good reason. If you are a high earner, contributions to the tax deferred bucket reduce your taxable income in the year that you make them. So you pay taxes when you withdraw the money later, presumably during retirement, when your income is lower. So the accounts that we're talking about that are in this tax deferred bucket are your traditional 401k, your traditional IRA, 403Bs, 457s, and if you're a business owner, it's your SEP IRA, your solo 401k, or your simple IRA. If you are in your peak earning years and you're sitting in a higher federal tax bracket, deferring the income now does make a lot of mathematical sense. So if you are putting a $24,500 contribution into your 401k and you're in a 37% tax bracket, that means that you keep over $9,000 in your pocket that the government would have taken otherwise. This is real money working for you. If you're 50 or older, the catch-up limit brings your total to $32,500. And if you're between 60 and 63, there's a new provision from Secure 2.0 that allows you to do an additional standard catch-up. So you can actually put aside $35,750 total this year. For business owners, the leverage here is even greater. A solo 401k account will allow contributions from both the employee and the employer side with a combined limit of up to $72,000 in 2026, depending on what your income is. A SEP IRA carries the same ceiling. So if you're not maximizing this bucket as a business owner, you're likely leaving a significant tax deduction on the table. But the risk is that you can actually over-concentrate here. And this is what I see happen a lot. Every dollar in a tax-deferred account is a dollar that's never been taxed, which means the government has a claim on all of it in the future. And you are required to begin to take distributions from those accounts starting at your age 73. So the larger this bucket grows relative to your other ones that we're going to discuss, the less control you have in retirement over your tax situation. That means if this account, these tax-deferred accounts grow to million, multi-million dollar balances, you are looking at having to, starting at age 73, take a required amount based on a fixed formula that will likely set you into a higher tax bracket, which limits what you're able to do in other situations. So bucket two is going to be the tax-free bucket. Bucket one is tax-deferred. Bucket two is tax-free. This is the bucket that will give you the most flexibility in retirement. And this is the one that a lot of women, a lot of folks in the high income earning years tend to underutilize because they assume that they are over the income limits, which they are very likely for direct Roth IRA contributions. However, the backdoor Roth strategy exists because of this, like for this reason, right? If you are phased out of doing a direct Roth IRA contribution, there are other strategies available to you that allow you to get funds into a Roth IRA through a backdoor. Accounts in this bucket would include your Roth IRA, your 401k, and your health savings account if you're using it for investment purposes. With a Roth account, the tax-free later on, so you're paying taxes now on the money that you contribute. And then you never pay taxes on the growth or withdrawals. So if you put $7,500 into your Roth IRA today, and it grows to $37,500 over the next 20 years, you owe nothing on that $30,000 in growth. You've paid your taxes on the $7,500 today in this year, and that growth comes to you tax-free in the future with some caveats, you know, boundaries in terms of how long the account has to be open, at least 5 years, how old you are, etc. Now, if your employer offers a Roth 401k option, this is something that's important to look at, especially if you believe that tax rates will be higher in the future than they are today. So for the Roth 401k, you can contribute up to the same annual limit as a traditional 401k. So that would be the $24,500 in 2026, plus an $8,000 catch-up if you are 50 or older. And every dollar goes in after tax. So again, you're paying taxes today to not pay taxes in the future when you go to withdraw that money. And the health savings account, an HSA, is its own category in terms of that it is the only triple tax advantage account that exists. So for your health savings account, contributions are pre-tax, the growth is tax-free, and then withdrawals for qualified medical expenses are tax-free. In 2026, you can contribute up to $4,400 with self-only coverage or $8,750 with a family plan, plus an additional $1,000 if you are 55 or older. So if you contribute the maximum each year and invest it rather than spending it down, this account can become a meaningful part of your retirement strategy, particularly for covering healthcare costs that are not covered by other assets. So we've covered the tax-deferred bucket. We talked about the tax-free bucket. And now we're going to talk about the third bucket, which is your taxable brokerage account. And this is the bucket that many people build last, if at all, but it's also the most strategically undervalued of the three. A taxable brokerage account has no special tax treatment on the front end. You contribute your after-tax dollars. You pay capital gains taxes on the growth when you sell. So the question is, why bother with this one if there is no benefit? The important thing about bucket three is that it provides you with flexibility. Flexibility does have a price, and in retirement, flexibility is everything. So the taxable brokerage account is important because it provides that. Tax-deferred accounts penalize early withdrawals before age 59 and a half, and you have a 10% penalty on top of ordinary income taxes. The Roth IRA contributions can be withdrawn penalty-free, but your earnings cannot until the five-year clock has run. Whereas a taxable brokerage account has no such restrictions. You can access it at any age for any reason. And this is an important tool that I like for my clients to have in their financial toolbox. Long-term capital gains rates, they're applied to assets held more than 1 year, and they're also significantly lower than ordinary income rates. In retirement, if you can structure your income to include a significant portion from long-term gains in a brokerage account, you may pay far less in taxes than you would from pulling the same amount from a traditional 401k. So for business owners, this bucket often gets funded kind of accidentally, right? With proceeds from a liquidity event, a business sale, or after-tax distributions that have no other home. And that's not a bad thing. I think this is an asset. And the key is to treat this with the same intentionality as your other accounts by investing it strategically for the long term rather than letting it sit in cash. So those are the three buckets. You know, when you think about the taxable brokerage account, before I move on from that one, if you are somebody who is considering early retirement, maybe you want that optionality before age 59 and a half, the taxable brokerage account is definitely something that you want to look at and be stashing away funds in, because that is the one that does not have those age limits on it. It's not capped. And you are able to access the money at any time for any reason, whether that's early retirement, a sabbatical, a big life purchase, fill in the blank. But that taxable brokerage account is a way that you invest your money. You can invest it for short or long term, but that money is accessible to you and it's flexible. And that flexibility in terms of optionality in your life is pretty important when it comes to living a life that's aligned with your values. So when we think about a couple different versions of what this could look like in terms of playing out in real life, there's a woman who is in her late 40s earning, let's say, $400,000 a year as a W-2 employee, and she also has some equity compensation. That means there's restricted stock units or some sort of stock awards that are also in the package for her. So she has been maxing her 401k for years. She has a healthy balance. She owns stock options that have vested, but she hasn't really thought much about what to do with them. So her bucket might look like, her buckets are tax deferred is large and growing. That's bucket one we talked about. So she's got that traditional amount that is a large balance and it's growing. Her tax-free, that's the Roth amount, has barely been touched because she assumes she was ineligible due to the income and being phased out that way. And then her taxable account is essentially zero, except for her savings account, which is sitting in cash and is not invested. So that's not unusual and is actually very common. And that represents the significant concentration risk that we tend to see across clients, not in terms of investment volatility, but in terms of tax risk. In retirement, almost every dollar that this woman touches will be taxed as ordinary income. And she's going to have no levers to pull to manage her tax bracket, to reduce Medicare surcharges, or to pass wealth to her children in a tax-efficient way. Now, to fix this situation, it's not overly complicated. It's really about making some strategic decisions over the next 10 to 15 years, which would allow her to open and fund a backdoor Roth IRA each year, to potentially elect Roth contributions inside the 401k if it makes sense at her current bracket, to build the brokerage account intentionally with after-tax savings, and to think carefully about how and when she exercises her options and what she does with any of the proceeds. Now, a business owner looks a little different, but can run into the same problem. Runs a profitable service business. Let's say she takes home a reasonable salary and distributions on top of it with a total annual income of $350,000. She's been contributing to a SEP IRA for several years and feels like she's handling her retirement savings responsibly. And she is. What she often doesn't have yet is Roth exposure or a taxable brokerage account that has been built, again, with the same intention as her business. So her entire retirement picture is tax deferred, which again means she has also locked in her future relationship with the IRS on every dollar she has saved. So she has no account outside of retirement vehicles that she can access before 59 and a half without penalty. And that matters, especially as a business owner, because sometimes business owners want to retire earlier. Sometimes they want some additional flexibility in their lives. And so the opportunity here is to layer in a solo 401k instead of, or in addition to the SEP IRA, which allows for a Roth contribution option. You can also fund the backdoor Roth IRA annually for both herself and her spouse by doing some strategic things with her portfolio balances as well. The goal is to treat a brokerage account as a third leg, which is funded from her distributions on a monthly basis instead of as an afterthought. So the thing to think about as a business owner is that business owners also have potential proceeds from the sale of a business, which is a liquidity event. And if it comes, there's a pot of money that could come in and also fund a brokerage account that would allow for flexibility over the long run. In both cases, though, neither of these situations requires starting over. What it requires is a different framework for where that next dollar will go. Now, this might be a little advanced for what you're thinking about when it comes to your retirement planning, but some questions worth asking are, if I stopped working tomorrow, I needed to replace my income from my savings, which bucket would I pull from first? Do I know what my taxes would be and how much I would owe on that withdrawal? Do I know how it would interact with Social Security, Medicare premiums, or my estate plan? And a lot of women at this stage can't answer those questions off the top of their heads. And let's be honest, as a financial planner, I have to dig into the data to figure out the answers to those questions for my clients. But these questions are a reflection of how much you are focused on building without anybody stepping back to zoom out and say, okay, what's the architecture of what I have built? Do I have the right financial foundation in place? Now, the bucket mix that you have right now is not permanent. And it's not permanent if you're in your 50s or your 60s. There's different options and different levers to pull. But it is a starting point. And so the decisions you make over the next several years about where the next contribution goes, about how equity compensation gets handled, how your business income gets deployed, these are all answers that will determine how much control you actually have over your tax situation and where your retirement paycheck comes from. The tax control is a big one. Would you rather pay money in taxes or would you rather keep that money for yourself? I can tell you as a planner that we have software that runs through all of these scenarios. And so when I look at a client's base plan, I can say, okay, based on where you are, here's how much money you will have towards the end of your life. Here's how your portfolio will grow. Here's how much you will have paid in taxes over time. And then I have the ability to toggle different scenarios where we make changes over time to the buckets, to strategies. And I can say, okay, now with this new option of Roth conversions or backdoor Roth IRA, moving contributions to Roth 401ks, here's what your assets look like over time. Here is how much less you pay in taxes over time. And that's usually the goal. We want to make sure that we are keeping more of our money for ourselves, that we are saving on taxes, and we are setting ourselves up for long-term success. So this has been something nerdy that I have been talking with clients about lately, but that I wanted to come in here and share because it's not necessarily something that comes up in the mainstream, you should have a budget, you should save into your 401k, you should do these things type of conversations that you see. But the three buckets are something that financial planners are looking at for our clients and that you should be looking at for yourself as well. I hope this conversation was helpful. A quick note before you go. I'm Mary Beth Storjahan, certified financial planner, founder and CEO of Allura Wealth, a registered investment advisor in the state of California. Everything you hear on this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only. Nothing here is personalized investment, tax, or legal advice, and it should not be treated as a recommendation or a solicitation for any particular security, strategy, or investment product. The views and experiences I share are my own. They are meant to inform your thinking, not direct your decisions. If you need specific guidance for your situation, please work with a qualified professional who knows the full picture of your financial life. Registration as an investment advisor does not imply any level of skill or training. Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where Allura and its representatives are properly licensed. No advisory relationship exists unless a client service agreement is in place. Allura may only transact business in states where it is registered or qualifies for an exemption from registration requirements. For more information, visit AlluraWealth.com.